This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the keys to finding stocks that provide big gains is investing in a sector that's been beaten down and is not catching the eyes of a lot of investors, but still has a good long-term thesis. One of those sectors right now is cannabis, aka pot stocks. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're talking pot stocks, and that means we're bringing on Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Mike, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thanks for having me, Andy. Always great to be here.
So we're talking cannabis stocks today. Let's start by going back like 10 years. The industry and stocks in it had so much promise, and pot stocks soared, and valuations got a little tricky for a lot of those companies, and then we eventually saw a big-time sell-off. So, Mike, the sector has had a ton of promise, which never fully materialized. So let's start with, at what point do those expectations that we had early on finally start to be fulfilled?
Well, you know, we've been involved for that entire pretty much 10-year span. Basically almost seed investors, early investors in one of the companies here in Illinois, PharmaCann, which is not public. But we've seen the whole thing. We've seen it from the beginning. And yeah, you're right. There were the real height of the promise was as these companies went public, and you saw some valuations that were pretty, I wouldn't say stretched, really. It was just they were based on some positive projections in the industry, and you only could really do it as a multiple of sales because there were no earnings yet, and we can go into why there wasn't. It's more accounting problems than the fact that companies couldn't make money. But 2019, even into 2020, you had. These companies going public and, you know, valuations, some stocks were $5 billion companies. And now you look at the landscape and the most valuable companies are around three. And that's 5 years later. And most of these companies can't make money yet. And that's an accounting problem that hopefully is about to get solved with the rescheduling. And the drop of the 280E ridiculous tax situation. But yeah, I mean, it's now gotten to the point where I think that we've gone too far the other way as far as the negativity. But, you know, and I look at MSOS, which is that ETF that that you could invest in. That's basically the American companies, the multi-state operators. That's what MSO is in the symbol MSOS, multi-state operator. But it now has gotten to the point where that ETF is trading, it closed today 7.89, and the lowest it ever got was in the fours, but it was $20-$25 a few years ago. And that just tells you how far that these stocks have come down in the last few years, as the Democrats' promise of rescheduling, safe banking, all the things they were supposed to do that didn't end up happening. Now we did finally get the DEA to announce they were going to reschedule it, but even that is still probably a year away. There's public comment happening now. In fact, ironically, today was the last day you could get in your public comment or request for a hearing on this rescheduling. So there's a bunch of things that have to happen yet before it actually gets rescheduled. But it's likely will happen end of this year, early next year. So at least we'll get that going.
Real quick, just so people who don't understand, and that's the big issue here, is the taxation situation. It's just real quick for people who don't understand what's going on here. Explain why these companies right now, as the industry is set up, are really not able to make money because they're not able to write things off. Explain that, Mike.
Yeah, so a Schedule One narcotic, there's a provision in the tax code that says if you're the lowest or the scariest of drugs, and that includes heroin, it doesn't even include cocaine. Cocaine is Schedule Two, but some of the worst drugs, and that included marijuana, believe it or not, included cannabis. They were not able to write off. If you touched the flower, you could not write off any operating expenses. So if you can imagine, you're a normal cannabis business and you pay your employees and it costs money to produce the product, et cetera. So you would take your revenue and you wouldn't be able to write off any of those expenses. And so you'd have to pay tax on the revenue and not be able to write off any expenses. So these guys were paying probably almost twice, at least 50% more taxes than they should. And so than normal businesses do. So, you had companies that were doing well, but they were paying so much in taxes, sometimes 70-80% of revenue. You can't, there's no way to make money if you're getting taxed that high. So When the rescheduling of cannabis happened, it was just announced the DEA has changed it. So now companies are going to be able to finally write off their operating expenses. It's just crazy that this has been going on for 9 years now. And finally, they have done something about it, and we can now write off our operating expenses.
And so that was a bipartisan issue, and was a big stickler for companies, because how can you how can you make any money if you can't write off expenses?
Exactly. So it was impossible. And so then try to value a company that, if it could operate normally, would have a pretty solid profit. But in reality, it was cash flow negative or neutral. But a lot of these companies were cash flow negative and just had to keep raising money just to stay afloat, to pay these taxes, to wait for the rescheduling to Schedule Three. It took 2 extra years, and these companies were. And I know firsthand, because we invest in one of them, and we're very close with management, and we know all of the problems that they've had to go through trying to run a company that can't operate normally, cannot account for their expenses normally. It's just I'm surprised there haven't been more insolvencies. But there are definitely a lot of companies that are a little bit upside down because they still owe some taxes, and they've had to take on debt just to pay these taxes off. But you know, we'll see what happens with what the U.S. government does retroactively on some of this stuff, because some of these companies are really hurting because they expected to actually be treated like a normal business, and they haven't been.
So, and that went on a lot longer than anybody thought. And right now, that has changed since, I mean, just recently.
Yeah, but again, it hasn't been put in effect, though, Andy. So the DEA has come out and said they are going to do it. But part of the process is there's a time for public comment and request for hearings that actually ended today. So they're going to then make those comments that have been sent to them public, and there possibly are going to be public hearings on this matter still. But when the DEA says they're going to reschedule, it generally happens, but there is this procedure still, and it still drags on, and as it drags on, things have not changed yet, so you still are in the same accounting situation. And meanwhile, the strength of the consumer has been compromised with all the inflation that's happened in the last couple of years. So you've got a weakened consumer, and then you've got the onerous 280E tax situation that will go away, but it's still there. So it is a very difficult environment right now to run cannabis operation. And, you know, so that's again why you see the valuations drop so much. MSOS trading 789. Very much closer to its low than its high, unlike most stocks, which are trading near all-time highs in a lot of industries. So it's going to, you know, to get this turned around, you have to get 280 out of the way, which is going to happen. But then you have to also have a stronger consumer than what we're seeing right now, because cannabis, you know, it is a, you know, it's a luxury item, you know. Not like buying a car, but, you know, if it is affected by, you know, the strength of the consumer, you know, how much discretionary spending they have.
You mentioned MSOS, and that's the domestic cannabis players, and that's really a good way to get exposure to the U.S. market. You know, I opened up the podcast talking about how, you know, in the heyday, there were a lot of stocks that ran and really skyrocketed. Back then, it was all about Canada, and so I wanted to bring up why investing in MSOS and domestic producers is actually probably the smart move here, and I want you to explain why you know there was all this hope with these Canadian players, but you got to think in our market that Canada's going to get kind of shut out, and they're going to opt to go with, you know, domestic players. But explain that dynamic.
Yeah, so I have advocated from, you know, from back in 18 and 19 when the Canadian companies were richly valued. You had Tilray. Tilray stock price got up to like $300 or $250. It had like a $30 or $40 billion market valuation. And it was going on like $500 million in revenue, you know. So those stocks were the landmines to get the heck out of the way. Now, there were some American ones that have gone bankrupt as well. But the Tilray's, you know, Canopy Growth, those stocks were just viewed as having the leg up on the Americans because it was completely legal nationwide in Canada, cannabis. So they were able to list on the Toronto Stock Exchange and New York. And so they got a much higher valuation. So, you know, the play was definitely to stay away from those companies and invest in the American companies, even though the American companies have struggled as well, just because of what's happened, you know, politically. But yeah, the Canadian companies have been destroyed. I mean, there's not a one of them that hasn't gotten at least hit by three quarters of their valuation, if not. Most of them are down 80, 90% from where they were 5 years ago.
On the Gains podcast, we often pick sectors and industries that, you know, will move long term, but they're beaten down. And it just speaks, I mean, cannabis has not performed like the rest of the market. And we've talked about some of the reasons why. That's why MSOS is a good way to get broad exposure. But just talk about some of the names that are domestic that, you know, people should be watching. Because, again, I do believe that, you know, some of them will probably go away because they can't handle it. You know, they won't be able to hold out long enough. And then there'll be some consolidation in the industry, as there's always consolidation in a budding industry when there's so many different players. But looking out, this could be an opportunity for investors to buy, you know, good companies relatively cheap. And so what kind of players in the U.S. are poised to, you know, be able to weather the storm? And then, you know, once the consumer picks up, they're going to be able to cash in and expand nationwide, other markets and so forth.
Yeah. So the two we like the most, one's in, obviously we like the one we're invested in, but it's a private company. So the ones that are public that we like are one's an Illinois-based company called Green Thumb, and that's GTBIF. They're always going to have an F symbol at the end because they're really not. They're traded on the Canadian exchange, and it's just pink sheets here. So it's, you know, they're not real liquid. But you know, you can like Green Thumb actually is much more liquid than most of them. So, you could get a decent sized position pretty easily in Green Thumb because it's worth about $3 billion. I'm looking at what its volume was today, and it traded 45,000 shares at $12. So, you know, that's $500,000 worth of stock you could buy in volume today. Now, that's not that.
I was going to just say certainly tradable for most of us Gains listeners.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's enough volume to get a position, a sizable position. Certainly not something that a Vanguard's going to be able to mess with. But right. Yeah, and by the way, I mean, these companies used to be much more liquid than that. You know, it's just right now, there's not the interest that there was. It can come back. All it takes is a good news story, a couple news stories, and you know, you're going to see some volumes again. And there were, the volumes came back when the news came out that it was going to get rescheduled. The volumes can come back. But yeah, Green Thumb we love. And we like this company called Trulieve, which is mostly in Florida, but they have a ton of stores down in Florida. It's well run. And that's another, those are our two best picks of the public companies out there.
You know, what's the ticker on that second one that you were talking about, Trulieve?
That's TCNNF. Again, they always end in F. They're five-letter symbols. Hopefully someday they'll be three-letter symbols and they'll be listed on New York Stock Exchange, but they can't be yet because we don't have safe banking. This sector has been basically everything's been thrown at it, and it's really a shame because what they really are doing is providing consumers with an alternative to alcohol. That's what's really happening here, is at a time when consumers want an alternative to alcohol, this industry is giving them a viable alternative, consumable in a package that is, you know, you don't have to smoke it. There are candies, there are all different ways to consume it, and the government is literally almost trying to stop it from existing. And basically by not helping it out, they're kind of hurting it, basically. And because the status quo was that onerous tax situation. And can you imagine trying to compete against alcohol or any other discretionary type item, and everybody else gets to write off their expenses as normal? I mean, how can you compete with that? So what will happen is when 280E goes away and the DEA finally does finish this rescheduling process, prices will probably come down too for consumers, which will hopefully drive demand, and sales should end up being fine because, you know, I think people will consume more and as prices come down. And, you know, that's what really will happen is prices will come down. Margins will come down some, but the amount of volume will make up for that. And the industry should be much healthier. But we still have to wait for the red tape to end. You know, and we haven't even talked about safe banking, which if you know, the political landscape looks like Trump is a big favorite, safe banking is less likely to happen with Republicans gaining control again of the government. So that might end up pushing back safe banking. But the big one, and you'd mention it, is that 280 and the rescheduling has gotten done. It just took so long. And again, trying to run a cannabis business when you were told it was going to happen, you know, in 2021, and here we are in 24, and it's still, we're still waiting for it to actually become, you know, rescheduled.
All right, we're going to talk about this potentially all turning around in 1 second, but we got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we're back with Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. When this does turn around, and you know, at some point it all seems like it's going there anyway. I mean, a lot of the things that the industry is looking for is bipartisan support. You mentioned away from alcohol. Another area that it helps people is away from painkillers and a lot of the pharmaceutical stuff that's, you know, we hear about all kinds of stuff. So that's another factor. So do you have this sense that, you know, we're kind of at the bottom of an industry that still has a lot of potential?
Yeah. I mean, and we've been saying it since before it was even rescheduled, because you could kind of tell it was going to happen, that the drumbeat of progress was finally going to just force these the government agencies to the three-letter agencies to finally do something. So, you know, early 23, we started saying, all right, it's bottoming. It's bottoming. And it was. But, you know, to go from upper fours to where it is almost $8 right now, that is not nearly, quite frankly, the move we thought would happen with this. But like I said, the consumer has kind of gotten weaker. So as one great bit of news happened, dramatically changing the industry, we now have a little bit of a question mark on the consumer. But, you know, if that can get a little bit better, we have and we get the rescheduling, yeah, you could have an MSOS that doubles from here, no doubt about it. It definitely is, and I've been on this podcast. I've also been on BBM with you, with the folks there, multiple times talking about it. That, you know, we can get, I've said as high as 20, but that would take safe banking too, and that's not probably going to happen. So realistically, this is a double from here. If the DEA does follow through, which that's pretty assured. But then again, we have to see consumer demand rise again, and that will take inflationary pressures to go down, interest rates to stay where they are, if not tick even a little bit lower, just giving the consumer a few more 20s in their wallet to stop off at the dispensary and more often, and also buy more every time they go than they're doing right now. So those things has to happen because we are seeing weaker consumer demand over the last year. So everything's been thrown at this industry. But, you know, if you expect to try to double your money on a sector, you have to bet into some pretty bad situations, right? I mean, you're not, you know, the market isn't going to give you doubles when you're buying things that are obviously doing well. So you kind of have to go in there and that's why we were talking about it when it was in the fours and fives, because that was the time to really have the best chance. And that was before you had to buy before the DEA even announced the rescheduling. But I still think, though, that there's just a lot of negativity in the industry, and it's still a buy here. It's just a matter of, can the consumer start to get back to health? Because it's not like it's the only sector on the discretionary side that has not been doing that well.
Gambling and the sports books, I felt like were a similar. It's a whole different animal altogether.
Even airlines. People are just, they're picking when they can go. They're picking when they can, you know, it's not like the old days where people are taking 3 vacations a year. That just doesn't happen anymore, you know? So people are being very careful, even with their cannabis purchases. They're just, you know, that's a discretionary item. It's when you have a little extra cash type thing. And so it's going to take a little stronger consumer. I think it's going to happen, though. And it still has to get more mainstream. It has gotten a lot better. But again, you know, it's still illegal federally, you know.
So, you know, the thing that strikes, though, that it is more mainstream, because I would tell you, this is tells me everything I need to know, is 5-6 years ago, I would never openly talk about marijuana in the newsroom. I mean, it just would not. Nobody would. Okay. Or in public around people you work with. I mean, that was a big no-no. And I hear it come up in conversations across industries all the time. It has shed a lot of the taboo. So that alone tells me a lot about where this is going. And mind you, the people that talk about it would surprise you. You know, it's the 60-year-old grandmother has 5 grandchildren, or, you know, somebody who might be really buttoned up, who's also super athletic and really, into working out and health food and everything, will talk about, you know, cannabis. So it's the stigma, though, is gone.
Choice. That's why.
Yeah.
It's a much healthier choice than alcohol. So if you want to, you know, relax and you know, just enjoy a couple hours of kind of just not worrying about your troubles for a while, it's a heck of a lot better to have an edible than, you know, down 3-4 beers.
Yeah, or a couple glass or a bottle of wine, which sometimes, yeah, you know, alcohol gives hangovers, and then yeah, there's various ways that people self-medicate. So yes, when you look out of it, and that's another part of this, was all the downside risk that they talked about, you know, people becoming addicts and this affecting people's driving and people being irresponsible with this. I mean, granted, you know, there are people who can't handle anything, but for the most part, it's the horror stories that people were kind of bracing for are like non-factor at all, especially when you consider DUI numbers and deaths caused by other ways.
When's the last time you heard a person, you know, get pulled over for being too high? You know, alcohol is much more dangerous. And like you said, the horror stories that were predicted have not come true. So again, you know, it is set up for more, you know, a bigger move higher, but you got to be patient because sectors like this, they just jump at once. And it's just, you don't know when that's going to be. You can have a great thesis, which I think the thesis right now to be long MSOS is a really good one, but you just never know what is going to be the catalyst for the next move up. And generally, in these types of sectors, the move is dramatic. And it's all at once, and you don't know. It's unpredictable when. So you got to be long and just be patient. And I do think we get to the mid-teens. And I do think it happens within the next year. I think it could double in a year, but I cannot tell you when that's going to be because it will be likely very quickly, in a matter of a week or even quicker that it happens. And you better already have the position on. So that's my thoughts on it.
And then for us degens, you know, we've talked about Green Thumb and you know, MSOS is a great way to get that basket of stocks. But the degen in me, and I'm sure some of the Gains listeners on this podcast, we like the 10 baggers. We like the 20 baggers. In the industry, you know, especially beaten up, I'm sure you probably have a 10 bagger that you might be able to throw at us, knowing that it's so risky.
Yeah. I feel bad because you asked me this a couple of podcasts before and I gave you a consortium, which is definitely was one of those. And then it's gone lower. But again, that's what's likely going to happen in these 10 baggers. Okay. Is that most likely it's not going to win, but yeah, I got one for you again. I'm a degenerate myself. I just try not to trade that way, but yeah. So my pick now for the 10 bagger would be a company called Planet 13. And that is a stock that is generally in, it has a superstore, gigantic store in Vegas. So if you've been to Vegas, you've probably seen their store right there. I think it's right there on the strip, but it's gigantic. It's the biggest cannabis store, I think, in the world. And it's a 50-cent stock that, let me just look at the 5-year. It was $8 back 4 years ago. So, I mean, it was a 10, you know, it's gone down over 90%. So, it could be a 10 bagger, not reach an all time high.
Interesting. So, you know, on the Gains podcast, we talk about this all the time. This is super risky. You want exposure to the industry, just go buy MSOS and you're good to go. And then you get the whole basket. But if you're a degen like some of us are, then, you know, check this out. All right. And what was the ticker on that one again?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think I gave it to you. It's PLNH.
All right. So we'll definitely check that one out. And then as we, you know, Mike, as we wrap up, you know, our discussion today, What's the takeaway?
Well, the takeaway is I love the thesis of being long these stocks. MSOS is the best way to do it. But realize that the gain you're going to get is likely to happen when you don't expect it, and it's going to happen quickly. So you need to be long now, because I can't, and nor can you, nor can anyone predict when that move is going to happen. But if we're right about the move, it will be dramatic, it'll be fast, and it'll be large. So you definitely have to be long now and be patient and realize it could be treading water or even ticking down for a while as we wait. And then the catalyst could be, this industry and the market is so crazy, the catalyst could even be Trump getting elected. Because, and I'm telling you, not because that will be positive, but because that will be the last bit of fear that is wrung out of the market. And all of a sudden it could double. I'm just saying that happens in the stock market often. Like, just
markets like certainty. Once they know what they're dealing with, then CEOs and everybody can, management teams can plan.
That crazy that like the Republican nominee gets elected and you could see cannabis rally just because everybody that was scared of that happening is already out.
Well, that's a good point too, because I found this with just a little sidebar thing. You're talking elections. I found this often, the stocks that are, if you have a particular candidate who's on a particular political side, all these people assume that a certain type of stock is going to rally. And often, and this kind of speaks to what you're talking about, it's so baked in that the opposite happens.
It's buy the rumor, sell the news, Andy. And that's why that statement rings so true and is still said around markets. And that exactly could happen here. I'm not saying that's going to be a catalyst, but that's how crazy things are. And that's why it's so unpredictable when this move is going to happen. And I would just suggest, if you believe in this sector, just be long now and be patient.
Big thanks to Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. And I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.